Hafaday, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from missionary Mark Zimmer. It was presented in July of 2005. The title of the message, Cry of Blindness.
Today I'm going to preach a message called The Cry of Blindness. And many times we hear different cries. A mother might hear a little child at night crying. The sound is pathetic. For us fathers, sometimes we get up, sometimes we don't. But mother always gets up and she goes to hear that cry and to meet that need. Sometimes we'll hear a cry of sorrow when a loved one dies or someone that is dear to us does something that hurts us. Maybe we'll hear a cry of sorrow. But there is one cry that is distinct and cannot be overlooked, and that is the cry of blindness. It is going on all around us. Here in Guam, there's this cry that is sounding forth a message to each one of us. And if our hearts are in tune to God's Word, we will listen to that cry and we will respond the way Jesus did. Today I want to read for you the account of blind Bartimaeus, found in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, and let's look at verses 35 through 43. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God." The cry of blindness that I'm talking about is not always a humble cry. Sometimes it's a person who is in pain, who is realizing the error of their ways. They are sorrowful for what they're doing, but yet they remain stubborn and proud in their heritage, in their culture, because it's what they've always grown up with. It's what they know. I recently heard this cry of blindness in Yap. A man came to my house, and I was working in the yard and looked over, and I noticed he was sitting in the front seat of his car, kind of slouched over, and I went over and began to talk to him. Right away, I noticed that he was intoxicated. And as he was talking to me, he was crying. And the cry, the tears just flowing down his face. He was saying something like this. He's saying, Oh, Pastor, please don't be angry with me. I am a poor man. I have no mother. I have no father. And my wife says if I die, she will take me to the dump and throw my body in with the dead dogs. This man was crying. He was obviously in pain, but he thought that he could escape from his pain through alcohol. Later on, he came. I took him to the shower at the church there and said, take a cold shower, come out, and we need to talk. So I sat down with him and talked to him for over an hour. But yet he remains stubborn in his ways. I was born a Catholic, he said. I will die a Catholic. And he does not realize that Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. And here this man later on was, that very evening, Sunday evening after church, he was still driving his car, once again intoxicated, and drove into the side of a convenience store, knocked the door down. The police came and arrested him and took his license. Now he's driving, he shouldn't be driving, but he's without a license. My friends, the cry of blindness can be heard all over the world. There are people that are suffering in their hearts and they're longing for something. They're longing for someone to care for their soul. And they're longing for the truth of the gospel in their hearts. Yet they are blind to the very thing that would save them because Satan has blinded their eyes. People need the healing hand of Jesus in their lives. What were the ingredients to this blind man in our passage receiving his sight? I believe there is spiritual significance in this story of the blind man receiving his sight because many times the Bible refers to people that are blind as people that are living in a life of sin. And the only light that they could ever possibly get is the light of Jesus Christ. I would like to point out three things that we can learn from this account about receiving help from Jesus. First of all, we'll notice there in chapter 18 and verse 35, it says, there was a certain blind man by the wayside begging. From that, I understand that he was a helpless man. He was begging. He had come to the point where he realized, you know what? I need help. Will someone help me? Alms for the poor. He was completely aware of his blindness. He didn't need somebody to tell him, you know what? Hey, buddy, you're blind. He knew he was blind. He couldn't see anything. And my friends, if he was here today with us, he would need someone to help him come up and stand beside me. He is completely aware that he is blind. Everything is black. But sometimes in our lives, before I was saved, I thought I knew what I was doing. I thought I knew where I was going. In fact, I said, I am going to control where I go with my life. No one is going to tell me what to do. I know better. I was blind in my sin. And here I was, wandering around, and for those that were watching that had the light, it was as goofy as a blind man trying to cross a highway because I was blind in my sin and the devil had deceived me. Maybe you're here today and you're groping around in blindness, trying to do the things that people that aren't blind do. In your own strength, you cannot. But with Jesus, when He gives us the light, something awesome happens. He changes our lives. And that's what happened when I was 22 years old. I got down on my knees and I said, Lord, I am a fool. I have been an enemy of your people. I need you to save me. I cannot do this on my own. And at that point, Jesus saved my soul, and I have never been the same. My friends, this man was completely aware of his blindness, but in our Bibles we find that there are some that are not aware that they are blind. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 3 and look at verses 17 through 19. The Bible says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Here Jesus is telling us about a group of people that don't even know they have a problem. But they're naked, and they're blind, and they're wretched, and most miserable. But they don't realize it. He is saying, if we will repent, if we will come to Him, we will come to Him as someone who is completely aware that we have a problem. Oh God, I am a sinner, and without You, I know I will find my way to the lake of fire. My friends, today you can make an impact on someone who is crying this cry. Maybe it'll take something in their life, a terrible situation come along, and suddenly they realize, you know what? I don't have peace. I've got a big burden of guilt on my back that I've got to get rid of, and I cannot do it. And then they start looking. That's what God does. He brings things into their lives and situations into people's lives. And if we are paying attention to those that are around us many times, we will become aware that they have a need and we can meet it because we have Jesus Christ. He was completely aware of his blindness, and secondly, he was aware that he could do nothing to help himself. In Isaiah 43, verse 25, the Bible talks about this very type of person. God says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and I will not remember thy sins. He's the only one. God is the only one that can take our sin from us and put it as far as the east is from the west. In fact, maybe you have a load of guilt in your heart and the guilt keeps weighing you down, something that you did in your past. But God says, I can take that guilt, I can take that sin, and I will blot it out. He's the only one that can do that. This blind man was aware that he could not help himself. He needed Jesus. Secondly, first of all, he was a helpless man. Second of all, he had a hearing ear. He was willing to listen for Jesus. And as the crowd was passing by and he heard that Jesus was in the area, he was listening. So he shouted out for Jesus to help him. Now there were others in next to him. They were standing next to him. And they heard his cry. But you know what they told him? In verse 39, they that went before him, they rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried even more, saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Many times when we hear someone that is crying this cry of blindness, and they continue to bother us, they keep pestering us. Maybe it's a physical need. They keep knocking on the door. Can I use your phone? They keep knocking on the door. Hey, do you got something I can borrow? I need some water. Could you get me some water? Could you get me some ice? And this is something that we live with as missionaries. Constantly, the pressure and the burden of people that are constantly needing something. And as for those of you that are in the ministry, you know exactly what this is. This cry of blindness, people need us to be a channel of God's blessing to them. When we will open our hands, the Bible says, to the poor, then God will pour out his blessing upon us. This blind man had a hearing ear. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For those that will listen and lend an ear, the Lord will give them his word. He will send someone to them. The Bible says it will go to the ends of the world. His message will go forth. And if they have a hearing ear, then the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing. Jesus desires for us to hear his voice. In Revelation 3:20, he says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Jesus is standing at our heart's door. And he is longing for us to make the first move. He will not cram it down our throats. He wants us to willingly and openly realize, I am a helpless man. I am a blind man and I need you. And then Jesus, so willingly, will give us the truth and the light will be turned on for us. In Revelation 2, there's four times the Bible says that if any man have an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. In Revelation chapter 3, the same verse three times. God has a message delivered by the Holy Spirit of God. And that message for us today is that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same as he was when he healed the blind man. Right now, he is looking for people that have burdens. He's looking for people that have a load of guilt on their shoulders. And the message is the same. The people might be crying the same thing. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus says, thy faith has made thee whole. That is what the sinner's prayer is all about. It's not following a list of things. It's a person who realizes, I am worthless. In front of God's eyes, I cannot attain to his righteousness. Nothing that I do would find favor in the eyes of God without Jesus Christ. The best thing that I could do, maybe put up an orphanage in Yap and take in all the young people and then give out shirts to everyone who doesn't have clothing or do something to help them. Without Jesus, all those good deeds in God's eyes are as filthy rags. Without Jesus, we are nothing. My friends, this blind man cried out to Jesus, and Jesus was desiring to hear him. And today, Jesus desires to hear us. For those of us that are saved, he desires for us to join him in helping to get the message to blind people. And to those that are blind, his message is the same. He desires to give you eternal life if you will, by faith, look to him. A few weeks ago, I was going to the container that's on our property and getting ready to close it up. We were going to go home for the day. And my wife had gotten the kids, and she was getting into the van when all of a sudden I heard a scream. And the scream was something that I knew someone was in big trouble. And this person was wailing and screaming. And so I went to the road and I looked down the road. And sure enough, I saw this lady laying beside the road, all curled up, and over her was a man, and he was stomping on her head. And she was screaming out in pain, and so I rushed forward and I shouted, why are you trying to hurt her? And when I said that, this man, he turned and looked at me, and I'll never forget the look in his eyes. A look of hatred and just evilness was all over his face. He slowly walked to the back of his truck, and then he reached in the back of his truck, and he pulled out a machete. And he held it up and he said, why don't you mind your own business? And then he started coming towards me. Okay, and I was standing in the road, and so I just kind of took a couple steps back. And I looked over, and my wife was getting the kids in the van. And she was closing the doors and locking them. So while this whole thing is going on, they're watching from the van. And I'm walking down the road backwards, and I shouted, put down the machete. I said that several times, walking backwards. He was getting closer. I knew I didn't want to confront this guy, a lot bigger than me, and he had about a 3-foot machete. I didn't stand a chance. He'd chop me to shreds. I was thinking, okay, I'm going to run here in a minute. But as he was getting closer, I knew I could outrun him. I knew that. So he's getting really close, and all of a sudden, 3 cars pull up, like a little parade. The last car, I looked over, and the person jumped out and ran and grabbed the lady and threw her in the back seat. That car sped off. He's still coming towards me. These 2 cars are stopped. And all of a sudden, he looked over at the cars. And something triggered it in his mind. He decided to put down the machete. He turned around and walked back to his truck and drove away. Later on, I found out that he's my neighbor. But that's going to open up opportunities for us to be able to lead him to Christ. We went fishing. I went fishing with Paul, and Paul's a big fisherman, caught some wahoo. And I brought him a wahoo, and I didn't even realize that he was the man until I saw his wife, and that was his wife he was stomping on. I gave her the fish, and the next day I met him, and he was in a different state of mind when I met him the second time. Very nice. He's the chief of our village. My friends, there are people that are blind, and they are in a terrible state. They don't even realize what they are doing. Because Satan has trapped them in a snare, and they are spiraling toward destruction. And without the help of the blessed Lamb of God, which came to this earth to take away the sin of the world, they will die in their trespasses and sins against Almighty God, thinking that I'm okay, because once in a while I go down to the church, I say my prayers, and I give some money to the church, I'm okay. That's not what my Bible teaches. My Bible teaches there is only one door, and that is Jesus Christ. This blind man, he was helpless. He had a hearing ear, and he had a humble cry. His humble cry was, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." My Bible teaches me that God will always hear a humble cry. It says in Isaiah chapter 57 and in verse 15, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite one." A contrite one who is someone who is broken. They're in sorrow because of their sin. They realize what their sin did to the Savior and what their sin has done to those that they have led astray. This is a contrite person. A humble person is one who does not put himself over other people. He is someone who realizes his position. Just one more of God's creation. God says, "If you will come to me with a contrite and a humble spirit, I will revive your hearts." You need to go to God and say, "Lord, I cannot do it on my own. Like this blind man, I want to come to you realizing that I am nothing in significance." God will always hear a humble cry. And then the Bible teaches that he will always heal a humble people. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, he says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their lands." God wants to heal us. He wants to give saving truth to those that will hear. He's waiting for us to ask him. And he's waiting for us to tell those that need to hear. But many times we fall into the trap of becoming too busy and too complacent. Our ears get plugged up, and so we cannot hear the cry. The sound of TV is drowning out the sound of the cry. But nothing is more important. And I speak this for myself. Many times we as missionaries get so busy trying to get our houses so that it's comfortable to live in, or trying to get our car to work, or trying to get something with the church ready for Sunday, and we're too busy to hear the cry of the blind. God wants to give us the opportunities to share his gospel. As he says, it will go forth. It will go forth to the ends of the world, and it will accomplish its purpose. It's not about us. It's about him. He is the one that will take the seed. He is the one that will water the seed. He is the one that will produce the fruit if we will be faithful in scattering it. The cry of blindness is here in Guam. It's everywhere. We have the truth. Jesus is the light. We can bring the gospel to people so that they can receive their sight and go away whole, praising God. Stubborn habits, bad attitudes, wrong thinking, all are a result of blindness. Even after we're saved, the shades can come back on a little bit as we get entangled in the things of the world. We need to come unto him as this blind man did. Even after we're saved, for sanctification, for cleansing, saying, "Oh God, I need you." And when we have this humble cry, he will take our hard hearts and he will chip away the surface until there's a soft heart there. A heart that is pliable in the hands of the Master so that he can use us and he can change us. And then we in turn can change others. If we lived in the time of the Roman soldiers, when someone had committed an offense, one of the tortures that they did is they would take that person into the dungeon and they would put their eyes out with a hot iron. And then they would become a slave. And sometimes, like Samson, walked around a mill grinding corn. But imagine with me that we have been captured and the Roman guards put our eyes out and now we are blinded. Our cry for help is we've cried till we have no voice. When suddenly we hear a sound and the door of our prison opens and it's someone that we know and love and they say, "Come with me. You're free to go. We're going to break you out of here." And so they bring us out into the road and they say, "You're free. Go ahead." So we stumble forward. The only problem is we're still blind. Even though we've received our freedom, the chains have fallen off. They've been broken off. We're not in the dungeon anymore, but we are still blind and we are wandering in the road. We're still crying for help. My friends, that is what religion does to people. It will teach them how to get victory over certain things in their life. They will become a good person, but they are still blind. Without Jesus Christ, my friends, they will wander hopelessly until the day comes where the soul leaves their body. And then destruction is forever. How about you, my friend? Today, are you blind or do you know Jesus? And for Christians, are we deaf to the cry of the blind? Jesus said, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness." In Hosea 14:4, he said, "I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger is turned away from him." God wants to do a mighty work in our hearts, but we must be willing, as this blind man, willing to hear, realizing that we are helpless, and in humility crying out to God. And then just like a mother rushes in when her little one cries, the Heavenly Father will rush in. He will pick us up, as he says, out of the horrible pit, and he will set our feet on the solid ground.
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled "Cry of Blindness" from missionary Mark Zimmer. It was originally presented in July of 2005 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.org, hbcguam.org. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.